We turn to a reading from the New Testament. It's in your pew Bible on page 57, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. This is one of the songs in the first two chapters of Luke. Traditionally, sometimes we call this the Magnificat, from that word magnify. This is Mary's song from Luke chapter 1, beginning at the 46th verse. Listen now for a word from God. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our second lesson is from Psalm 146. So I'm going to ask you what I asked you to do last week. Open your pew Bible to page 581. And we will read this responsively. You can be even, and I will be odd. We don't have to agree to that so quickly. All right. Page 581, Psalm 146. If we have a second, just as a little fun fact to know and tell, Psalms is plural, Psalm is singular. If you're ever reading a psalm in a meeting or something, don't say, "This is Psalms 23. It's just Psalm 23. Many psalms, one psalm. Just so you know. All right. I've heard people say that, so I want to help you. Just want to help you. All right. Psalm 146. I'll be odd, you be even. Listen for a word from the Lord. "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord." And let us all pray. Almighty and everlasting God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. I mentioned last week my little college in East Tennessee, Tusculum College, and the more I think about it, I realize my college was weird. I didn't know it at the time, but looking back years later, it was weird. One weird thing was we only had one class at a time. They called it the block plan. You had one class, it met from 9 to noon every day, 18 instructional days, Monday to Friday, Monday to Friday, Monday to Friday, Monday to Wednesday, had your final. Then you had Thursday and Friday off and the weekend, and then you started the next block on the following Monday. That's kind of weird. Yeah. Then something else weird happened. When I was a junior, I was finally eligible for independent studies. And in an independent study, you meet with your professor, you talk about what you're going to read, talk about what you're going to do that month, then you go off and do it all by yourself. So I took an Introduction to the Old Testament class, and while, you know, one friend, Mike, was in organic chemistry, and he had to walk off to organic chemistry at 9 a.m., and another friend, Joe, had to go off to math for non-math majors, I went to the library and read the Bible. Ha! But it was weird. That was a weird thing. So finally, when I was a senior, my friend Jonas and I, we were in an independent study together with a visiting professor from Australia, Dr. Adrian Brown. That's what we always called him, Dr. Adrian Brown. He was never Dr. Brown. It was always Dr. Adrian Brown. And we found out we were going to be in this class with him. We began walking around and introducing ourselves to each other as Dr. Adrian Brown in the worst Australian accents we could do. Good day. My name's Dr. Adrian Brown. Good to meet you. So we shook hands and introduced ourselves all the time like that. But he forgave us. He was a wonderful man. And during the second week of the independent study, we realized we probably needed to do some more research, or really any research at all. And so he suggested, maybe now that I think about it, maybe just to get us out of town, he suggested we go to Vanderbilt University in Nashville. He said, go over there and you know, find some books on your topics and study a little bit and come back, and we'll meet again on Monday. So Jonas and I, we started to get excited about going to Vanderbilt to study in the Divinity School Library. And we were talking about it at breakfast and talking to our friend Quincy. And, well, Quincy was in an independent study too in psychology. And we said, Quincy, you come with us. We'll go to Nashville. We'll go to Vanderbilt in the library. It'll be great. And so we're like, yes, we'll do this. Great. Now, we were teenage guys, so we realized, well, where are we going to stay? We haven't figured out where to stay. And Mary, who was at the breakfast table, she said, my dad lives in Nashville. You guys can just stay with my dad. Hold on. This is weird. Your dad wants us to come and say, yeah, he'll be fine with it. It'll be fine. Any friend of mine, it'll be great. Okay. So we loaded my 1996 Geo Metro, got in that car, 3 cylinders of pure automotive power. 1 liter engine up and down the hills of East Tennessee. Not a problem. We get to the Vanderbilt Divinity Library and get in there at 4:30 on a Friday. When does it close? 5 p.m. Do we have privileges to check out any books? No. Will it be open on Saturday or Sunday? No. Did we check to see if it would be open? No. Had we done any research about how to do research? No. So this trip is not looking good. So dejected, we leave the Vanderbilt Divinity School Library and make our way to Mary's dad's house. Now, you know how when you're driving along in a city, you sort of find yourself in a bad neighborhood and you don't really know how that happened? Like, you were fine, but then you're just kind of driving along and suddenly things change and you just end up maybe in a bad neighborhood, and you wonder, what happened? I wasn't paying attention. Should I be here? Is this safe? Well, what happened to us was we were driving along, and all of a sudden, the neighborhood got really nice, and it got a lot nicer, and we didn't know what had happened, and we didn't know if we should be there. We didn't know if this was safe, but we pulled into Mary's dad's house's driveway, and we realized something. Mary is rich. Mary is, maybe not Mary, Mary's dad. He is loaded. And we're like, dude, Mary is an heiress. And Jonas, as an English major, he's like, maybe there's a Henry James novel about Mary. Maybe somebody's trying to marry Mary off to some eligible bachelor, guys. We elbow. So we went in and we met Mary's dad, a wonderful man. Turns out he was a trustee of the college, and he had a vested interest in college students having a good experience and studying and things. And we were really glad to meet him, and we did not hold his affluence against him. And well, we told him the sad story about the Vanderbilt Divinity Library library and how it kind of was closed and how our trip was sort of a bust. And I'll never forget, he was leaning against his pool table. And this pool table had not been used for pool for at least a year because all over this pool table, there were huge briefs, you know, 3, 6, 9 inches of paper stacked all over this pool table. And he said, well, guys, I'm really sorry. You know, I don't really have anything here for you as far as food for dinner, but I've got an idea to kind of help your trip out. The Italian Street Fair is going on right now in downtown Nashville, right around the Parthenon. Now, if you don't know about Nashville, Tennessee, there's a huge replica of the Parthenon in Athens right there in downtown Nashville, because why wouldn't you have one? I think it was built for the World's Fair, but, you know, maybe Tampa should have something like that. So anyway, he's like, it's right around the Parthenon. You guys go down there and have a good time. And what Mary's dad did is he produced 2 crisp $20 bills and gave them to us. Never had Jonas, Quincy, and I ever been given money like this from not our dad on not our birthday. We didn't know what to do. We were in shock for 15 to 17 minutes before we realized we could use the money for food. So there we are, sitting on the curb, downtown Nashville, eating our meatball subs, the traditional food of Italy, eating our meatball subs, and almost as if on cue, we finished the last bites of our subs, and this band comes out onto the stage that was right in front of the Parthenon. And you know, from 150 yards, it sounded a little bit like the group Squirrel Nut Zippers, who were very popular in the fall of 1997. And as we got closer, we realized it was the Squirrel Nut Zippers, whom we loved. And we commenced to dance our faces off. It was great. And I'll never forget the joy of Jonas's face, the joy of Quincy's face, as we danced and our trip was redeemed. Now, you'll hear people say things. People will say things like, you come out smelling like a rose, or she lives a charmed life, or he really always lands on his feet, or you'll hear people say, so-and-so is lucky. But that's not what we say. We don't say those things. What we say is that God takes care of us. God takes care of us. God provides for us. God nurtures us. God brings us along. God pulls us. God pushes us. God prods us. But God takes care of us. That's what we say. In Psalm 46, that's what the psalmist says too. It's a wonderful psalm about all that God does for God's creation. Now, just like that praise song this morning had a really great interpolation of "Great is Thy Faithfulness," I hope you enjoyed that. I thought that was really sweet. This psalm has a couple of those too. It says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul," and that's sort of to make us think back of Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Praise God's holy name. And then there's a little section that starts out in verse 5, happy. This was before Pharrell Williams, sadly. Although I'm sure the psalmist felt like a room without a roof. But at any rate, happy. That's a key word in the Psalms. Happy, content, a share. It makes us think of Psalm 1. Makes us think of Psalm 32. Lots of psalms start with that word. Happy are those that do this and so and follow it like that. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. And then the psalmist has 2 really terrific sequences of 5. So happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. This is how God takes care of us. Got five phrases. And then, because the psalmist in the poetry often intensifies what comes after, you know, if A, what's more, B, we have this another sequence of five, another sequence, but it is intensified. The Lord sets the prisoners free. Oh, so we're intensifying now by using the divine name, the name that should not be uttered. Now, this isn't Voldemort. This is, you know, Yahweh, or we would more politely say Adonai. But the Lord, that's why you see it, got a capital L, and then a little capital O, little capital R, little capital D. Ever try to do that on your computer? It'll take 17 and a half minutes. Very hard to do. The Lord sets the prisoners free. That's one. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. That's two. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. That's three. The Lord loves the righteous. That's four. The Lord watches over the strangers. This is how the Lord takes care of us. All these things. Now, it might be comfortable for us to say this. It might end up being trite or contrived to say, the Lord takes care of us. The Lord watches over us. That might be too comfortable. So we might want to go a little bit deeper and talk about, well, how? How does the Lord take care of us? And that's where we come to our picture of a dead theologian moment. All right? Got a picture for you. I won't do this every week, but here's a picture of a dead theologian. Here's John Calvin. Senior picture. Looks nice. What's that? You're not seeing it? All right. Well, you can't all turn around. That'd be bad. You'd feel like you got bad seats on Ticketmaster. Here we go. Good. We'll edit that part out. John Calvin. Here you go. 16th century. Frenchman. Lives in Switzerland some of the time. Sometimes he gets kicked out. Sometimes he gets axed back. But anyway, in his magnum opus, his senior paper entitled The Institutes of the Christian Religion, this is what he said about providence. And this is one of my favorite quotes. It's almost a throwaway quote right at the beginning of a little section. But he says, providence is the determinative principle of all things in such a way that sometimes, here's one, sometimes it works through an intermediary. Sometimes it works without an intermediary. Sometimes contrary to every intermediary. Now, I'll explain that. God's, okay, you can laugh, that's fine. So sometimes God works through someone else, through other people. So that would be like Mary's dad. Our experience of Mary's dad taking care of us, giving us a place to stay when we were too dumb to realize we needed a place to stay, offering us money as hospitality, helping us. That's how God worked in our lives, through an intermediary. But then the second way, God works sometimes without intermediaries, without people. I remember this distinct moment when I was looking for a call while you guys were busy looking for a pastor, and I was in my room, and I was reading the Psalms as I do, and I was just reading along, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks that there was a church that wanted me, but I could not go there. I just couldn't. It was the weirdest thing. It was just so clear. No. Now, that's not in the Psalm anywhere. It didn't say, no, don't go to that place. But I just felt it. That's how God works through nobody. Or if you want to be technical, maybe me, but eh. And then the third way, sometimes God works contrary to every intermediary. And the classic example of that would be Joseph from Genesis, where there are so many rocks and boulders in Joseph's way. His brothers that sell him into slavery after they throw him in the pit. Then he's probably sold a few times. Then Pharaoh's wife mistreats him. He's in jail for a long time. People don't fulfill their promises to Joseph, right? And finally, at the end, the great crowning moment when the brothers ask for forgiveness and Joseph says the greatest line in the movie that would get replayed on YouTube, you know, millions and millions of times: what you intended for evil, God intended for good. That's how God works, contrary to every intermediary. Now let's go back to that first one just for a second. God works through intermediaries. What that means to me is that God takes care of me through you. And God takes care of you through me. And God takes care of other people through us. We get to be a part of how God takes care of us. We get to be a part of how God takes care of others. We've been included into God's providential care. Now, one more picture of a dead theologian. This is Teresa of Avila. I'm sure her senior picture again. She looked, well, this is more like her senior picture. She looks a little bit older here. But at any rate, she's looking good, though. She's got her pen. She's writing things down. She wrote a lot. She was a mystic. She's 16th century, too. She's working in Spain. John Calvin is in Switzerland. She's Catholic. John Calvin used to be Catholic, but he got over it. So at any rate, she's right. Well, sort of did. It was tough, but he got over it. Different personalities, right? So she's writing, and this is a poem that's attributed to her. And what I'd like for us to do, and the power of technology will help us, I feel, I'd like for us to say these words together. So go ahead to the next screen, and we'll see if we can do it. Let's say these words together. Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes, you are his body. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on the world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. During stewardship time, we talk a lot about money, and stewardship is about money, but it's also about us as stewards, us as caretakers. We have an opportunity to take care of others. And so when I ask that question to you, and I'll keep talking about it, we ask ourselves, how can I offer more of who I am to God, my congregation, and my neighbor? That's a stewardship question. And God gives us this invitation this morning to be a part of taking care of others. Let's accept that invitation today. Let's be a part of taking care. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we give you thanks for all the ways you take such good care of us. We think back over our lives and see how you've provided for us in each moment. Sometimes you've spoken to us directly, and sometimes you've brought us through terrible experiences despite everything that was happening in our lives. You brought us through. You've taken care of us. Help us to take care of others too. May we join you as you take care of others, in Christ's name. Amen.